and now for the Gnostic teaching.
I just want to ask, did you guys meditate or comprehend a bit on that question? What would you do if someone were to give you 30 years extra additional to your life? What would you do in 30 years? So here's the scenario. If we're going to live for 90 years, right? A third of our life, we're going to spend sleeping. A third of 90 years is 30 years, right? It's just sleeping of your life. So if you were to gain access to those years, to that 30 years of doing absolutely nothing, you know, what would you do got that 30 years in addition to that life that you have? You know, how to heal it. What would somebody do in 30 years, you know? Start a business perhaps, you know, develop your spiritual work, do some emotional healing. Can you imagine 30 years of, let's say, sitting in meditation? What is the value of that time that you would do? How would you use it? So that's the premises of me asking that question. And again, Ekbatla, who bring your attention to the time that we spend literally asleep, ne? To understand how much of life, of your life, you actually spend sleeping. And I'm not even talking about a psychological sleep yet. I'm not even at that level. I'm just talking about physically, every time you go to bed to sleep. And we need to distinguish the difference between sleeping and resting so that we can understand what it is that we are trying to accomplish. Got this whole concept of dream yoga, you know? Because imagine if instead of sleeping, all that you do is rest your body, and yet you continue working internally within yourself. Do you understand that? You don't sleep, you just rest your body, but your consciousness continues to work, to develop, to go, to learn, to awaken, to go into those higher dimensions, during when the body is resting. So to have that capacity to awaken the consciousness in the internal worlds for 30 years doing that type of work, the value of that. This is what I was trying to point to and to show you or to ask Kore, what would be your interest if somebody were to say to you, do you know you can have an additional time in your life to do spiritual work, to learn meditation, for example? We all have a limited time on this planet, right? Time is limited. We really don't know how many years we have or we shall be able to live on this planet. So imagine if we can access all that energy that is so dormant in our internal worlds by just awakening consciousness. But what I want to do, the dream yoga, and that's the reason why I wrote the dream book, and then I'll try to explain how to use them. It is to really understand the phenomena of life, the phenomena of life, that life is truly, truly impermanent. Yeah? And the thing that is permanent in us, it is that part of ourselves that isn't born. It is that part of ourselves that is not part of the whole drama of existence, the whole cause and effect, the whole drama of karma. No, to really understand that part of us that does not suffer, and to develop or to awaken ourselves into understanding how to unite ourselves with that part of ourselves, that divinity that is not. Dream yoga and lucid dreaming has been used for so many centuries to really penetrate the illusion of life and the comprehension of reality. Because if you can also understand, now I'm just going to that note, the document on point six, in front of you, or if you are able to open it. Are dreams real or are dreams illusions when you're dreaming? You know, is that real or an illusion? What is the nature of a dream? And then point number seven, where do dreams come from? Is a dream our own doing? So if we can really start to assess, so what happens when we are dreaming? What are we encountering? Who are we seeing? What's happening, Vele Vele, when we are dreaming? Have you guys pondered about that? Why must you dream? What happens in a dream experience? And have you noticed our dreams are very impermanent? They are here in 1 minute, immediately also to where the dream is gone, just like that. You know, something that is here 1 minute and immediately it's gone. You know, it shows the impermanence of life. Even if dreams are not real, let's say we say dreams are not real. But do you notice how our psyche, our consciousness is always delusioned by the dreams when we are sleeping at night? And that's why we have nightmares. That's why we have all of these desires. We see ourselves in pleasurable lands, you know? Because even if a dream is illusory in its nature, it is impermanent in its nature. We, our consciousness, our essence is still delusioned by that thing that is not real. But we are still experiencing pain. We are still experiencing fear when we were in our dreams. And yet that thing, Eritusang, in our dream is not real. So I want you to see the correlation between our dream and our dream experiences and how we react normally in life. How we are always stressed and made anxious by things that are not real, things that don't belong to us anyway. This morning, the temple that I was attending, the teacher was making a beautiful illustration. Imagine Ubanabana who are playing in a sand pit, right? They're building a sand castle, right? And they're all trying to make the nicest sand castle for themselves. And they are invested emotionally in this, in the perspective of having their sand castle even more beautiful than another child's sand castle, you know? They try to make it, you know, lavish and as beautiful as they can. But have you noticed the moment when it is time to go home, all of those children, immediately, they don't care about their sand castle. They just leave it, right? They don't care what happens to it. Like a Robeha gets knocked over and it's no longer there tomorrow. Because the nature of impermanence is really, really like that. We build our lives believing in this whole illusion of impermanence. And yet when it is time for us to transcend into that higher realm, you know, into a different realm, you notice that not even a single speck of dust will go with us. Our children don't belong to us. Our homes don't belong to us. Our career, nothing belongs to us. It's like we have built this sand castle, something that is impermanent in its own nature. And when it is time to go into a different dimension, all of that is left behind. You experience that every night when you go to sleep. Everything that you have, you leave it behind and you go into your own psychological universe. But it is also important to observe what are you experiencing in that psychological universe. You see? So the whole purpose of understanding dream works and the analogy of dream, right, in relation to our spiritual work, it is so that we can have a profound understanding, a very profound understanding of existence. This mystery, it's also written in the Bible. You know, when the disciples, when Jesus was gonna had heard about Lazarus, and then he says, go to the book of John 11, right? I'm just gonna read from verse 11, where Jesus says to his disciples, and Jesus say, and Jesus answered his disciples saying, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am on my way to wake him up. And then in the later verse, Thomas says, let us go and die with him, right? Pointing to the mystery of that esoteric death. But what I'm trying to say, to show you, Kuhuri, the reason why we need to enter into the technique of analyzing our dreams, it is that our dream experience is identical, is very similar to our experience of death. Do you guys understand that? The very same way that you go to sleep at night and everything that you're experiencing when you're sleeping, it is the process. It is a process that you will experience when you die. So I'm trying to say, Uri, there's a correlation between dreaming and dying, number one. Yeah? The process of dreaming, what happens in our dream, I just want to quickly tell you this, Uri. So dreams come in three levels, right? The experience of dreaming comes in three levels. So the first thing that we experience in the dream is called ordinary dreams, right? So those are more of our samsaric dreams, dreams of repetition. We are experiencing our life all over again. We are dreaming of ourselves at work. We are dreaming of our families. We are dreaming of the people we love. We are dreaming of the things that irritate us in life. That is the first level of dreaming. It's called ordinary dreams, right? These are basically impure, illusionary perceptions of our own point of view. You understand? We are seeing life. We are dreaming about life from our own point of view. We are seeing our own feelings, we are seeing our own ideas, we are seeing our own concepts, our own hopes, our own likes, our own dislikes, our own fears, our own anger. We are seeing all of that in that ordinary dream state. So the ordinary dream level is where we experience the karma of cause and effect. So 90% of our consciousness, 90% of it, when we enter the dream world, it's based on that samsaric perception. I die, I like this, I don't like this, I prefer that, I want to do this, I don't want to do that. That is called the first level of samsaric dream experience. And the second level is called pure illusory perception. So the pure illusory perception is when people start to have lucid dreams. They start to awaken their consciousness. They start to use their minds differently. They start to comprehend, oh, wait, I'm dreaming, this is not real. And they are able to go into higher dimensions within that astral plane. So what I'm trying to show, okay, we know that the physical body is 3D, né? We are in the third dimension. And then the vital body is in the fourth dimension, né? And then the astral body is in the fifth dimension. The astral body and the mental body are in the fifth dimension. And you will know, Hori, I've always mentioned, I've always stated all this time, Hori, the Gnostic teachings are found in the fifth dimension. I've said that, Lahopula, right? We need to know, we need to comprehend how to go into these dimensions, in order to access the actual training, the Gnostic training. So the astral is related to our dreaming body. The reason why we are trying to practice dream yoga, it is so that we can awaken the consciousness in this dimension, in the fifth dimension, in the fifth dimension of our astral emotional body and our and the mental body and the mental body of consciousness. You understand? And then from there we can receive direct training, the causal body within us. We can then access the buddhic body and the atman, right? Our innermost. So, and I said the last time I give waka initiation, remember I said it is the atman, the innermost inside of each and every one of us who receives initiation. It is not the personality, it is not the ego, it is not Linda, it's not Mpo, it's not Bitumelo, it is not Mukhele. We do not receive initiation. Initiation pertains to our innermost because it is the innermost, right? So the innermost is Mudimu. Mm-hmm. It is the Atman inside of us. So Atman has created an essence according to the law of cause and effect. And I'm going to do an actual lesson on this because it was such a profound thing when I received it as well. So inside of us, there's Atman or a monad, right? So inside of Bitumelo, there is a monad. Inside of each and everyone, there is a monad. And then the monad creates an essence, meaning soul. It is this essence that has gotten trapped in the ego, in the personality, in the me, myself, I. It is the essence that is repeating itself in samsara. It is the essence that needs to be liberated. It is the essence that has to get out of the cage of the personality, of the false sense of self. This is what we are trying to awaken, the essence, the consciousness in us. The first dream stage is called ordinary ordinary dream level. So the ordinary dream level pertains to your samsaric view, to your karmic. You dream about going to work, driving your car, seeing your child, seeing all the things you like, seeing all the things that you don't dislike, all the things you dislike. You are basically seeing your own view of life, your own personality, your own theories about God, about Jesus, about angels. That's what you are seeing when you are dreaming in that ordinary dream level, right? It is called the ordinary mind. It's the first dream state that we enter when we enter into when we go to sleep. So, yeah. And then the second dream level, it is called pure illusory. Notice this word illusory iminishang. It means something that is not permanent. It's an illusion, illusory. But it has the pure aspect of it, meaning the consciousness is awake. The consciousness is not asleep. This is dream yoga. This is where we are trying to awaken consciousness. Laopula, the first one, Mokibuanka, the astral fifth dimension. This is where we want to awaken our consciousness. Because look at it this way, beloved. Every time you go to sleep, your soul, your essence, your soul leaves your physical body, and then it travels to the fifth dimension, to this astral dimension. But unfortunately, because your consciousness, because your soul is asleep, your consciousness is not awake, you experience those fifth dimensional realities ka a sleeping consciousness, ka a consciousness of an animal. And that is why when you are in that dimension, anything can happen to you. Anybody can do anything to you because your consciousness is asleep. Anything can scare you in this fifth dimension, because the consciousness is asleep. Anything is a nightmare. Anything is a desire. Anything is an attachment. You desire to be around beings of a certain quality. You are taken forth by desire and fear, craving and aversion in this fifth dimension because the consciousness is not awake. Okay, I just want you to understand why we need to enter into the technique of dream consciousness and how dream consciousness affects our spiritual work, right? So the second level of dreaming is called that pure illusory body. But that pure illusion, that pure illusory state of consciousness, it's still an illusion. It's not the reality still. But it is an illusion that we create a pure consciousness. We're creating good karma. You can work in the internal bodies. You can go to the higher temples and receive sacred teachings. I've always stated to you, the Gnostic temples are not found in the third dimension. I've always stressed this a lot. The Gnostic temple is not found here in this third dimension. It's not in the fourth, it's in the fifth dimension where you meet your higher beings, higher masters that can teach you the secret teachings. It's not found in this third dimension, right? So the last level of dream consciousness, it's called limitless, right? It's just a limitless. There is no form. It is formlessness here. It is formlessness. So in this second dimension, pure illusory body, there is something called alaya, consciousness. In the alaya consciousness is where you find all of your psychological imprints, all of your karma is here. Yeah. All of it. So what psychologists do, God, and this is why I really want you to receive the proper understanding of dream yoga and lucid dreaming, right? What I'm trying to show you, let me go to another page. Sorry, man, Gopalu, just something. You guys are aware, we are not in the third dimension. I understand, we are accessing the Ethernet. Through the internet like this, ne?
Yes.
So what is also happening there, because voice yaguna, it gets carried through the waves, again, in the fourth dimensional, in the first, they're talking only 5G in the fifth dimension of waves. So you need to and you need to get to this level of consciousness of understanding Hori. There's beings in those levels. There are beings there. The very same way Olimo Komi Trenti, Randburg Sentinel, wherever. There's other people who live in KZN, Kompumalanga, in different provinces, and yet we are all in South Africa. Okay? You need to comprehend Hori. The fifth dimensional sphere has beings. There's beings that are existing in the fifth dimension. Yeah. In the fifth dimension. Inasmuch as here in the third dimension, there's many places that you can go to. In the fifth dimension is the same thing. I want you to comprehend that, because even as we are talking now, we are accessing this fifth dimension. With our emotional body, with our thoughts, guys, our thoughts are more powerful than electricity. So we are in that dimension, even right now, this type of world. So all of these connections, please be aware, it is part of this work of penetrating our own fifth dimensional space and knowledge. Are you with me?
Yeah? Yes, teacher.
Okay, cool. Yes. So first, can I understand those three levels of dreaming, right? And please understand, what I'm doing here is just a preliminary and introduction to dream yoga, right? Because we do an actual course, I think, where we do certain exercises that will teach us how to awaken in the fifth dimension and know how to go to which temples, how to get our own internal inner angel to guide us, where we can meet masters, where we can meet Yeshua, where you can meet all of these ascended masters that you are talking about in the Bible. Because all of these deities, please understand this, all of these deities are within you. They are within you in the internal world. But there are qualities, skill quality. How about waka Jesu? Babuaka a Jesus quality inside of Boitumelo. So Jesus is not a person who died and lived 2,000 years ago. It is a quality of consciousness. The Bible is explaining to us a quality of consciousness within us that we need to awaken. And this is why we are trying to do the work. We are trying to awaken our own individual inner Jesus. You understand? So that quality, it is within us. So it is important to always remember this, because look at the evidence. Have you seen when somebody has passed away? And yet they have passed away again. We've all had that experiences. I can dream about Bitumelo Mpo Slinda. And yet, and I've asked this question, how Lora Mutu? Who did you see? Did you really experience, if you dream of Miku Ruaka, am I really doing that? So, would you wake up and say, and be angry at me and say, I did that to you? This is where, in the ordinary level of dream world, you are seeing your own perception of people. You are seeing your own ideas, your own views, your own understanding, your own pleasure, you are seeing all of that, your own fear. That's what you are seeing at the ordinary level. And then when you start to work at the consciousness, when you awaken your awareness, you then start with working at the pure illusion, the Alaya consciousness. There's something called the Alaya. So the Alaya consciousness is a sphere where all of the energy of all of your past lives is recorded. All of it, all of nature, everything that you've ever done, everything you've ever thought and felt emotionally is recorded in the Alaya consciousness. Kiona ekritan karma ya how. And I'm going to try and explain it a little bit further in terms of how to free yourself from the Alaya consciousness. But within that, beyond that, there is something called the limitless, our own Christhood, Christness, that is not born. And this is why I say to you, beyond something that is born in us, there is something that is not born. There is something that is not formed. And that is that something that is not formed is our true being that does not suffer. You know? So the whole concept of practicing dream yoga is to understand the nature of existence. The nature of existence, right? So there's dream yoga. Ne? And then there is lucid dreaming. We need to understand both of these techniques, because this mainly is used by psychologists. Lucid dreaming is used by psychologists to clear the psychological difficulties of a person. For example, let's say you have a particular trauma in your life. Let's say you lost a parent, or you lost something, or you suffered emotional abuse in a marriage, or you're afraid of heights, or there's just a psychological issue, a psychological impediment that's stopping you from progressing in life. Psychologists normally use the lucid dreaming technique to get you in a state of the fifth dimensional sphere to fix your psyche. But they are still working within the alaya consciousness, within that state, there's it's still part of your psyche. They're still working on psyche, how your psyche. They're trying to get you to awaken psychologically, to not be traumatized by heights, to not be traumatized by dogs, or if you were bitten by a dog. Understand if there's such blockages. But dream yoga, it is a technique to go beyond the psyche itself. It is to comprehend the different levels of dreaming until we can get to that level of dreaming called dreamlessness. But as long as we are still psychologically identified with pleasure and pain, we cannot really access the mystery or the depth of dream yoga. Because I want to say this very, very emphatically. Dreaming is similar to death. When we die, we experience the very same thing we experience as when we dream. And this is why I was reading for you the scripture, that quote, John 11, verse 11, when Jesus says, our brother Lazarus is asleep, denoting death. So we need to comprehend that mystery, that death and sleeping are similar. Understand? So in that document, some sadic dreams reflect the level of our psyche. You know, there's a document about today's point. On point number 7, I say, some sadic dreams reflect the level of the psyche inside each and every one of us. So some sadic dreams, so there's some sadic dreams in that first level of dreaming that we experience. The perception, the way Abona Mpoka thing, that's how you're going to dream about her. So they reveal the harmonies and disharmonies within us, within our own selves. When we learn to purify the mind, the body and speech, we accumulate the intensity to access more of the clear dreams, the second level of pure illusory mind. The more we purify our minds, we are able to access those levels of dreams that are called pure illusionary dreams. But even those dreams are still illusionary. So every time we awaken in our dreams, it is a reflection of how awake we are in life. Because notice, Hari Robala, the body sleeps and the mind, the consciousness continues. The mind continues. Again, the body sleeps, but the mind continues. That's what is happening. You are seeing your mind. So that what you are seeing in that fifth dimension of your own mind is reflecting of how your consciousness is awake in life. It is a reflection. So this is why we need to learn. The preliminary practices, we can call them lucid dreaming, to dream lucidly. Né? But in essence, what we are trying to penetrate is dream yoga. It is a dream yoga. It is a state where we are able to transcend all levels of dreaming, where we are able to get into something. You see, the limitless, né? The level A are limitless. It is also called the primordial consciousness, Yamutu, meaning the consciousness of your being, the consciousness that is beyond existence. The true Christ consciousness in you, that's what that limitless level of dreaming is called. And another thing Ekbatanghu emphasized, okay, I'll explain it later on, okay, the reason why we say dreaming and dying are similar. So in life, we do not understand things by the words that are spoken to us. We understand things according to perception. So if I say to you, Nzuzo, I love you, ne? Kyaurata mpo, I love you. The word love, as it's coming out of my mouth, it has a different sense of perception in you according to what you perceive love to be. So when I say I love, you do not understand the love from my perception, from the word love. You understand love from your own perception. And this is why I always say to you, do not listen to my words. Always perceive the energy of the word. Hurakiri Christ, what am I explaining? What am I pointing to? When I say Buddha, the word Buddha is not Buddha itself. So when I say God, what am I explaining? Because Mujimu is not just the word G-O-D. That is a word that is describing something. Understand? So by learning to purify our perception, we can see more of the pureness of life, because we see things not by words, but by the perception that we have, perception of each other. So when we dream, we see everything that is within our psyche, especially at that ordinary dream level of consciousness. We see all the human beings within our psyche, all the animals within our psyche, all the planets. So in essence, we can comprehend all of humanity is psychologically within us. Humanity, all of it, including the planets, are psychologically within you. I want to show you these dimensional images. All of these represent different dimensions. For the dimension, the third dimension is the dimension that we have, right? So all of these dimensions, from the fourth, fifth, the sixth, going right up, all of these dimensions are contained within this physical dimension, this physical body, all of them. That's why when you dream, you are accessing all of these higher dimensions within you, the way you see them, the way that you are experiencing them at your level. And this is why scientists have proven, every time you observe something, you are contributing to the psychological manifestation of that thing. Or just by observing an object, you are the one who's creating the manifestation of that thing. That's why it says beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Beauty. It is how you see things that is causing them to manifest. So everything that a person is saying to you, you are the one who's actually psychologically using the words from that person to say that to yourself, psychologically. So Kibatala understands the concept of dreaming in relation to our spiritual world, right? And this is how we are able to see all of humanity when we are sleeping, when we are dreaming. We are able to see our grandmothers, our grandfathers. You are able to see me when you are dreaming, because I am inside of you psychologically. You are inside of me. And this is why, if you think about it, saints, meditate on this, we always say, you can hurt a person kadi thoughts sahau. You can hurt, you can harm, you can bewitch a person by the negative thoughts you are thinking without even saying a word. How? Because your words, your thoughts are energy. You are hurting the mental body of that person in the fifth dimension. In the fifth dimension, you are hurting the mental body amoti. The very same way that you can hurt the person physically, you can hurt the person mentally, you can harm a person emotionally. And this is why one of the greatest cruelties that we are seeing in our human race, it is spiritual cruelty. How people are enslaved spiritually. People are spiritually serving other gods that they do not comprehend within themselves. Spiritual manifestation. So I want to say something very quickly, Mona, about the differences between dreaming and dying. So when you dream, I don't know if you have your documents from go point number one. The reason why we say dreaming and dying are the same. So you see here, the process of dreaming starts with the ordinary dream, right? And then it gets into the pure illusory body, where we can practice dream yoga, for example. And then you end up in the limitless. So Every night we experience all of these levels. Every night. But because our psyche, because our consciousness is not asleep, we are not able to take advantage of these higher levels, the limitless one and the pure illusionary one. So what happens through death is that the process is reversed. So when we dream, we start from ordinary. Let me open another page and show you something. When you dream, you start at the ordinary level, yeah? The superficial one. You say ordinary, and then you get into the pure illusionary, and then you get into the limitless. This is the process of dreaming, how it happens when you dream. When we experience death, it happens the opposite way. So in the death experience, we experience, another 10 minutes. We experience the limitless. I saw a light, right? Okay, but I'll understand the differences between the two processes. Né? When you dream, you start in the ordinary psychological likes and dislikes, sahau, and then you can move into the pure illusionary and then end up in the limitless, right? When you die, it's the opposite. You start in the limitless light. You go to your divinity. You go to God. You go to Christ. But unfortunately, if your consciousness, and this is why the work is so important, if your consciousness is not awake, instead of seeing that clear divinity, that primordial consciousness, God, divinity, whatever is in you, you are unable to recognize it. You are unable to recognize your own divinity. And then you fall into this pure illusory state of the Alaya consciousness where you are given your karma. All of your karma is in the pure illusory state, the Alaya consciousness. This is where all of our karma is. And then you experience all of your karma, good and bad things. You see, at this point, you still have the opportunity to recognize divinity, purity in you. But the likelihood is that when most people are in this Alaya consciousness, all they get attracted to is their likes, all the good deeds, all their, they fear all of the impure deeds. They fall into that dualistic point, that dualistic mind within them. You see, they fall into this, I don't want to experience that, I want to experience that. They become attached to cause and effect. And from here, you fall into what is called the bad of becoming. And then you put yourself into samsara. Nobody puts you there. You put yourself into the wheel of samsara by failing to recognize your own divinity. Because the consciousness is asleep. You did not recognize Christ within you, the light within you. And this is what everybody sees when they die. And all of them, they say, I saw a light. And I remember this one time our mentor, Mama Kanda, I think Bompo had this experience where I think she saw Dr. Makanda, and she kept on saying to him, Makanda, go to the light, go to the light. Because if a person, it does not matter who you are, you can be a priest, the highest spiritual person, if you are not trained in learning how to stabilize your consciousness when you go through the passage. Death is a passage. Death is a passage between this world and the higher worlds. If you are not trained, your consciousness, your psyche is going to be polarized by likes and dislikes. You're going to see things that you're afraid of. You're going to see things you are attached to, family, possession, cars. You're going to be attracted into existence by all of those things that you like. And then you're going to fall back into the wheel of becoming yourself. Because you are not able to comprehend the nature of existence, which is emptiness. That's why the Bible says in the beginning, when God created heaven and earth, it says the earth was void, limitless, void, nothingness, emptiness. You are not capable of comprehending that. You are attached to your own psychological fears, your own family, things that you wish you had, pleasure. All of those things. And this is what keeps people in the wheel of samsara. The desire to want something and the fear to not want to experience something. So to comprehend, the reason why we need to broaden our spiritual work. It is because dying and sleeping are similar things. So the reason we do this is because our consciousness, when we enter the dream worlds, is literally most of the time asleep. Né? So we do not recognize the purities within ourselves. And this is why the scripture is so profound when it says there is a mystery in iniquity, you know, the mystery of sin, that Christ Jesus came to remove all of that sin. But it is the ego in us, the ego of each and everyone, that thinks you deserve to suffer for certain things that you did. And yet Christ came to wash away all of those karmic perceptions. It is a karmic perception. Good and evil is a karmic perception. So this is the nature of dreaming that we need to comprehend within ourselves, that I'm trying to, hopefully you guys will be able to access within the broader scope of the Gnostic teachings that we are trying to practice here. So before we continue, are you saying, when we die physically, ne? How so Ushas, Avalon, the first thing that you encounter is your own divinity, the primordial consciousness. That's the first thing you encounter, that light. That's why people say, I'm seeing the light. They are seeing divinity in them, the light that they are. You are light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. You are light. That's the first thing you experience. But most of us, when we get into that light, we don't comprehend our true nature when we are in it. We don't even recognize the actual nature of that limitless light. Ribona in a glimpse. We only see a glimpse of it. And the more we go into it, the more we get scared. That's why Mama Kanda was saying to Ntate Makanda in that experience, go to the light. Most people, when they enter their light, they are scared by their own light.